Good morning, everyone. Let's get my screen set up as y'all all come pile driving in. Today, we are going to be talking about fuck it foods. And just as y'all are coming in, if you're wondering why I'm so casual today, I have two reasons. Number one is my allergies. If you know, I've had a cold for a little bit, but the cold's done. But my allergies are in large effect right now. And so when I get allergy problems, they come out in my eyes. And it, like I always tell Chris, if I could just get an ice bath, put my eyeballs, like pull them out, put them in there, and then simultaneously take a Brillo pad, just scrub them. For some reason in my head, that just is like, oh God, that would be so relieving to be able to do that. So, knowing that my eyes are extra irritated right now, I was like, I will not. Somebody, Karen, said I often wish I could pop my eyeballs all out too. 100%. So I just thought today the most loving self-care thing to do would be come on this call, au naturel, and like give my eyes a break. They deserve it. They are working overtime with all these allergies. So I am not going to tax them just so I can look pretty. I don't even want to say that because I do think I'm pretty without my makeup on. I love both, but today I would not love how I look over wanting to claw my eyeballs out all day long. So there's that. And I'm dressed casual because literally I got up this morning and I started really thinking about this new content we're going to be delivering when we do the 2-day live event. If you don't know, you can go check it out on our webpage. If you go to the membership site, there is we have added a live event to the calendar this year. It is at the end of the 3-day Queen of Your Life event. That part of it is sold out, but we opened up another 2-day that is a very intensive 2 days of working on a diet culture detox. And so I'm like really like fascinated with all the material and things like that. And you don't have to be signed up for the Queen's event to be able to come to that. You can totally just come to that 2-day. But the reason why I tell you is because this morning I woke up and I swear to God, when my feet hit the floor, I started thinking about the four types of eating that we all do and which falls into our Fuck It Foods worksheet. So I'm going to start with kind of going over this brand new content that is going to be part of the 2-day experience because I think it will help y'all a lot with the Fuck It Foods worksheet. But when I got up this morning, I was so excited. I got to working, like my creative juices were flowing. I mean, 3 pages later of typing, I had all this content and all of these ideas and stuff. And I look up and I was like, oh, fuck, I have got to work out because I have meetings the rest of the day. And I was like, right now, I gotta go work out. Like, I literally gotta go to the gym right now. So I did. And I did my lifting and lifted real heavy. And then I was like, you know what? We're gonna wear the clothes that the gym saw us in. So here I am, casuals, I'll get out. All right. So let me tell you about these four types of eating. And I may have introduced them a little bit inside of the membership some, but I want to review them because when we talk about so first of all, you learned in the summer reset that fuck it eating is like one of the things that we are not going to do all summer long. Like, if you were going to pick one behavior that you could either stop doing, level up, or change, I want you to really think through, like, of all the behaviors, there's usually one that, man, if I just like literally put all my energy and focus into this, it's probably the most important one. It moves the needle more than anything else. Because a lot of times, I think what we do is when we want to lose weight, our brain goes to, well, here's everything I need to change. And it's like womp womp fill. And I don't think that you need to change everything. I think that you have probably, like, if you're like all of us, you probably have lots and lots of behaviors that, yes, you know, when you take a big like step back and you say like, what are all the things I need to work on to lose weight? There's lots of options. So I want all of you, first of all, to just think about how does it feel differently in your body when you think, if you made a list of everything that you need to change, Like, this is one of those times where I wish Kathy was live, because I would probably just ask Kathy these questions and then see where her brain goes. Because y'all all know I love coaching Kathy. So, and I don't get to do it very often. I don't get to see Kathy. I never see Kathy. Like, the most that I see is her on this screen with her like avatar up. So, well, Kathy, if you want to come on, if you want to come on and quickly go through some of these questions, or just be on live and we'll just do a little banter, that would be fun. It depends on, all right. So Kathy's game. All right. Let me turn my volume up because I don't even have it. All right. So Kathy, so let me just tell everybody how this is going to have to go, because this is last minute. So Kathy's job on this call is to monitor the chat. So here's what we're going to need. Everybody go grab your best fitting pair of big girl panties right now. You're going to put them on, because in the chat, Kathy can't be talking to me while also chatting with y'all. So she's not going to be able to like give y'all highlighted notes. So if there's someone here who, if I say something incredible, just like, I don't know, who's here that can type on their keyboard? Karen Brent, you're here. Are you at work?
What's up, Jean's there.
Jean, one of y'all decide, I'm going to now switch to all caps, and I'm only going to, I'm at work with the door shut. Or you should probably be working. All right, Jean. I'm not going to make poor old Karen. Oh, yeah, you're getting ready to retire. That's right. Karen, you do it. Fuck your job.
Do you see what she says? She says F work.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I know she's getting ready to retire anyway. She's like, I'm 1 foot out the door. Who gives a shit? All right, she's going to be now in all caps. She's playing the role of Kathy Hartman today. So if anything genius is said, Karen Brent now will be typing that into the chat, and then the rest of us are going to just be normal. All right. So Kathy, and you may have to put your mind back in weight loss mode to answer these questions, but I know that like you and I are easy to do that. If I was to say, Kathy, right now, I need you to make a list of every like habit, everything you need to change in order to lose, you know, 20 pounds, 10 pounds, whatever, you know, whatever it is that, you know, back in the day you would want to lose. What would be the first feeling that would come up if we were just going to look at the list and see all of it? What is the first thought and feeling you would automatically have?
Oh, for me, it's overwhelm. I have to do all this in order to lose weight. Are you sure? I can't do it all.
Okay. So that's a really good example. So like a lot of, like for all of you, I want you to first and foremost think about, when we are talking about this, if we start looking at all the behaviors, and if you're not going to look at it in a constructive way, that means your habit brain looks at it. And anytime it sees a big list, it goes into like, you know, oh, fuck me. This is a lot. It's too much. I love what you said. I got to change all of this. Like, just notice how our brain likes to default to black and white, to binary. Like, we've made a list, but our brain, even Kathy's brain, and I'm sure she would catch herself because she's an expert coach, but I do this. Like, if I look at everything I need to do, like, for the day, my brain automatically assumes I have to do all of it. Our brains don't like nuances by habit. So our habit brain is very much designed to be all or nothing. I have to do all of this. Where the truth is that you don't usually need to do it all. Are all of those things worthy pursuits? Probably. But what we want to be thinking about is, okay, here is a list of optional things to work on. I just need to find one that I could start with and possibly make a big difference. Now, when you hear it that way, does your thinking or does your feelings shift?
Yeah, they do shift a little bit. It feels more doable, but it doesn't feel like it's enough.
Okay. And that's okay. So we don't really, like, I just want all of you to, it's kind of like we go back to that call that we had a long time ago, when a lot of times our brain, when we want to lose weight, it's literally on overdrive with its subconscious belief. So the subconscious belief that drives things like, well, that won't be good enough, has nothing to do with whether or not it's good enough or not. That's always a lie. What the truth behind not good enough is I'm so afraid I won't be able to do it. Like, I'm so afraid I'm just going to fail again. Like, that belief keeps throwing up excuses all the time. So it's like, you know, even if we find something, it feels more doable. Just don't be shocked that your brain goes back to saying things like, but that won't be good enough. It's like, that's all right. Let's just see. Because as your expert in the wild here, here's what I can tell you after working with thousands and thousands of you all through the years, is that what you think isn't good enough is almost always not true. I won't say never, just because I'd want to stay out of black and white, but I would almost bet a lot of money on the fact that it is never really true. So when you have that thought, I just need you to like set it aside for a moment and tell yourself, I need to disprove that starting on this isn't good enough. Instead of, well, it's not good enough, I guess that's just the way it is. It's like, I need more of you disproving that by going out and trying these things. Go get some results first. Like, let's say we're going to attack fuck it eating, because that's why we're here today. And that was all you worked on all summer. And you're just like, it won't be good enough that I only work on my fuck it eating. It's like, all right, well, give me a summer of not fuck it eating. And then tell me what happened between this date and that date. And then if that wasn't enough, then here's what we'll do. Pick the next thing and the next thing. Or give me a month of no fuck it eating to see what happens. What changes? Does the scale go down? Do you find yourself having an easier time figuring out what's enough and what's not? Like, what happens when you actually try it? And then we get to decide, was that enough or not? Because I will say, sometimes you pick a behavior and you clean it up, and it might not get you all the way to where you want to be, but you see improvements, which means, all right, if I practice this for a month and I get a little improvement, and maybe I want more improvement, I just layer the next thing in. Versus thinking either I do none of it because I have a long list, or I just put myself in a position to try to do too many things poorly with a lot of fear and a lot of overwhelm. Like Kathy is like, well, I'm going to go do it even though I'm completely overwhelmed. And then you're trying to do it overwhelmed, you just run out of steam. And then the second something doesn't, like, you drop the ball on one thing, guess what happens? You quit all of them. That's usually, like, fuck it mentality can be a lot of things. Sometimes it's fuck it eating. I messed up. Now I'm just going to eat my face off. I eat something I really love. I go into fuck it mode for different reasons, which we are going to cover a little bit later in this call. Or I have a fuck it mentality. I make my list of things that I should do to lose weight. I try all of them. And the second I don't do one, I might not go into fuck it eating mode. I just go into fuck it all mode. Fuck it all mode means now I'm just not going to do any of those things, because if I screwed this up, I don't want to be doing the rest of it. So now I just don't do anything. So we want to be watching out for fuck it. All right. So
yeah, that's called perfectionism, y'all.
Yes. And a lot of us,
if I can't do it all 100%, I'm not doing anything. It's like, yeah, the ultimate black and white, right?
Right. And most of you are at least in the master's degree program, if not seeking your PhD in perfectionism. we want to retire from that college.
Yeah, but isn't that what old diet trauma taught us, though? I mean, that's what we're going to be unraveling in the diet culture detox.
Yes. Right? So a lot, yeah, of times, so that's what we're going to get into in a little bit, because I'm going to kind of go through a few things.
Okay.
So that's like the first thing I need all of you to think about is, all right, for this summer, I want to be like, the first and foremost is like, I need to be thinking about these behaviors, which we did in the summer reset. And the one we want to focus on today is fuck it eating, because here's what I think. If I was to, you know, wave the magic scepter and erase just one behavior for all of you for this summer, it would be fuck it mentality. It would either be you would no longer fuck it eat foods. Like if you were, if you went past enough, you ate off plan, you know, which translates into wrong food. If you drop the ball 1 week and you like say you were going to do all the basics and 1 week is like, oh, I didn't even make a plan this week. And, you know, and I overate a few times rather than going to fuck it all mode for the rest of the summer. Like literally, if I could absolve you of one behavior, it would be that one, because it's the one that makes people quit the most often. Like if you just ate past, like, if you, I mean, I routinely can eat past enough and still maintain my weight. I routinely ate past enough while I was losing weight. I just ate past enough littler and littler and littler as time went on. But I've never eradicated the behavior. But like, fuck it. That is one I don't have anymore. Oh my gosh. And I'm going to get my, don't let me forget to get my iPad. You remember this because I actually want to show y'all where I'm at in the summer reset. If y'all look at my habit tracker, well, y'all are going to see my habit tracker. You're going to laugh your ass off because it is more X's than it is. Like I fill in the hole. I'm like, ooh, like I love a nice, you know, wink, wink, wink. That means I did it. An X means I didn't. I was looking at it yesterday and I was like, damn, if my members see this, they're just going to have a royal laugh. Because I'm just a tracking. I'm just like, here I am still tracking. And it's a hot fucking mess. This like June did not start off the way I thought it was going to start. So anywho, eradicating fucking behavior. So that's like the first thing. And then kind of the next thing that I want y'all to think about, and I wanted to ask Kathy, is like when you're thinking about your fuck it eats, what is your attitude about them? So like, I am sure you have a very enlightened coach perspective now, but let's just pretend.
I'm also a human.
Yeah, let's just bring up the human version of Kathy, who's mm-hmm. not, you know, a well-established coach. If you fuck it, eat, or do anything like that, kind of what is your default automatic thinking about that?
During the eat or afterwards? Because they're different.
I would say afterwards. We're going to cover kind of what sets the stage for this more, but let's go with mm-hmm. after.
Okay. After, it's more like, it's really self-judgy, Corinne. It's more like, see, you're a coach and you can't even stop it enough. You'll never get this, you know, blah, blah. You know, it's all, you know, pity party Eeyore, you know, self-judgment.
Yeah. So the other key aspect about stopping fuck it eating is we have to change our definition of what it means about us and our ability to lose weight. Because if you don't, here's what I promise all of you. You are always going to like somehow get into a fuck it mode at some point. Like it's just, it's really hard for us to avoid making mistakes and all this other stuff. And if that is the case, the best thing that you could do for yourself is to develop a new definition of what it means. Most of you are doing like what Kathy said, you're making fuck it eating very personal. It means these things about me. Like, you know, you're a shitty coach if you can't do this. I'm paraphrasing. Kathy literally did not say that, but, okay. But like saying things like that, saying things like you're never going to get this. This is always going to slow you down. Those kinds of things feel terrible. They do feel Eeyore-ish. And the way I look at them, and this takes time, like your automatic brain, it is going to go there. But again, it's only going there because there is a deeper rooted belief system driving that conversation. And rather than working on the deeper rooted belief system, which can take time, if you're only going to do it through thought work, like if we're only going to like get coached on it over and over again, journal about it over and over again, if we're only going to do what we call the thought work piece of it, it will take forever for it to change. Please, everyone hear me when I say this. A lot of you are spending a lot of time trying to shift your belief systems first. And most belief systems do not change solely through ahas, coaching, and thought work. In fact, I would say 98% of belief systems change faster, quicker, and easier when you start with acting in a new way before you believe it, so that your brain is now forced to have conflicting ideas about who you are. So when you combine and you start, like I'm going to tell all of you, if you start with acting in a new way while also using fuck it eats and things like that to change what you believe about yourself, your brain is now forced to do something different inside. It cannot sit around very long and hold two identities for you, especially if they're polarizing. You are either someone who can't lose weight, or you are someone who is doing your damn best, or you're learning to be someone, or you are actively in pursuit of. Like you're like, and I'm notice how what I didn't say is you're either someone who can lose weight or you're someone who can't. Mm-hmm. That's when we get weight. Like I like to bring y'all always to the middle. The middle is where the magic is. And so we're trying to go from, this is what we're going to do with the 2-day. We're going to be talking a lot about all these deeper rooted belief systems that we're all hanging on to. We're going to expose all of them. We're going to figure out what are the deeper rooted belief systems behind stopping at enough, waiting for hunger, planning. We're going to figure all those things out while also taking some action while we're there. And then when you go home, you're going to be doing a lot of action taking, holding two different, now like completely different belief systems. So I want to get all of you to the middle. It's like, oh, it's not that I can't lose weight or I can. It could be one belief system is I can't. And another belief system is I want to show my brain that I'm actively in pursuit of weight loss, that I am willing to work on it even when it's hard. Like, I want to believe that I am someone who will work on it even when it feels hard. Not, I can't lose weight. I want to shift to, I want to prove to my brain that I am someone who gets right back on track as fast as she can. That is a belief system we want to build. And so when you have a better relationship with fuck it eating, when it goes more like this, fuck it eating is illuminating for me. All of the reasons I need to, like all the things that I think about food, the emotional holes that I've still got left, it is literally illuminating the path. So I want all of you to imagine something, and Kathy, you can imagine this, is we're going on a little journey and here's the woods. The problem is we know there's a path, but it's fucking pitch black at night. And we're kind of close to the city. So the moon and the stars are not going to light our way. Like we are just, we're blind. If you decide that fuck it eating makes weight loss hard, stops you from being able to lose weight, you have to feel your way through the woods. It's scary. It's terrifying. You probably won't do, nobody's going to try. Like some of y'all just be like, fuck this. I'm sure Jason lives in those woods. I will not be going. If you think about every time I have a fuck it eat or a fuck it moment, this is telling me something. It would be like stepping up to the front of the woods and for the next 10 feet in front of you, some little lights come on. You can't see the end, but at least you can see the first few steps you need to take. You take those steps, and then guess what? Another moment arises. Something happens where you eat off plan or you do something. And guess what? When you think like, this is trying to tell me something, so I need to figure out, what do I need to be changing? It might be environmental. It might be habitual. It might be, it could be emotional. There could be things. Then the next little set of lights lights up. And eventually you get to the other side. But you're just walking a little bit. You're letting the fuck it eats illuminate your path in front of you. That's what they're there for. They're not there because you're broken and you can't get it. That has nothing to do with it. And that is the story that you will have to overwrite every single time. So it's really important when you're working on fuck it eating that you notice, that you know a few things. Number one, it doesn't have anything to do with ability. It doesn't have anything to do with you personally. It is a habit. So when we look at the four types of eating, which is what I was writing about this morning, you only eat for four reasons. We eat because we're actually hungry. Like we have a physical need and a physical desire. So your body needs food. It needs fuel. It's going to send up signals in some way. For some of us, our signals are misfiring. Or it feels like they're misfiring. Or they're in overdrive because of the diet culture stuff we've been through. That is what the detox is going to do. We are going to really attack why are some of our hunger and enough signals so off balance to where like the only time I get a hunger signal is like, I don't eat until I am like, literally I go from 0 to 90. And then once I start eating, I feel like I can't turn it off. We're going to unravel all of that. We also eat for habitual reasons. So you want to be looking like a lot of times your fuck it eating will show you like I have a habit of when I eat this food, I lose control. I have a habit of eating by the clock. And that's kind of like a fuck it. It's like, I know I'm not hungry, but fuck it. It's 3 o'clock. And I have learned, you know, for thousands of years that we're supposed to eat by the clock. Our third reason is our mindless eating. Our mindless eats are the ones where we're really just on autopilot. It's very similar sometimes to habit eating, but it's more where it's like you don't even know you're doing it. It's not emotionally driven, but it's like cooking and popping something in your mouth. It's cleaning up the kitchen and just notice like sometimes I'll do this. I'll be doing something in the kitchen and I'll just like grab a bite. It's not really emotional. It's not like a habit that I do, but every now and then I just pop something in my mouth just to try it. And I'm like, oh, like it's just mindless. Those are always the easiest ones to unwind because we're not emotionally attached to them. We just have to get so good and aware of what we're doing. And then like Dottie just said, I eat while I cook all the time. Those are the easiest ones to break. Because all you have to do, Dottie, is you just have to get super aware, like, oh, shit, like I'm eating while I'm cooking. I need to remind myself I am learning how to not eat while I cook anymore. And then if you have any resistance to it, then it's starting to land in emotional land. And it will be something like, this won't hurt. It's like, well, really? Tell me how that weight loss thing's working out for you. If you're just going to eat extra things when you don't need it. Does it make stopping at enough at dinner harder? Do you eat less at dinner and then feel cheated? Because like if you're going into dinner after snacking all the way through dinner, and then you go into dinner and you think like, oh my God, it's unfair that I have to stop at enough because you knocked off 50% of your hunger just simply cooking. Like, I don't know. Is that like, does that matter? Does it matter to you? Because if you can easily stop at enough, guess what? I guess it doesn't. But if it's setting you up to have all this drama on the back end, we're screwed. So we want to make sure we're working on it. The fourth one is our emotional eating. And that is where it is, I'm eating simply because I have an unmet need. And a lot of fuck it eating comes down, I think fuck it eating comes down to two things. Number one, it is an unmet need somewhere, usually compassion. So like we're going to use Kathy as our example, who is an Eeyore. When she fuck it eats, if her brain is going to be an Eeyore about it, then she is definitely having an unmet need of compassion when it comes to weight loss and eating. And I think a lot of you think your unmet needs are only living in the land of like, you know, I don't have enough help. I don't get enough sleep. You know, I'm overworked. I'm burned out. Like Those are all actually unmet needs. Like, I don't have enough self-care. I'm not getting enough rest. I feel guilty as fuck when I, you know, take time for myself. And you know, I feel like my little children are somehow being neglected as a mom, whatever our stories are. But sometimes the biggest unmet need that we all have is compassion for the moment things are not going the way we think they should in our life. And when that unmet need is there, we see a big tick up in fuck it all. Let me just quit. And that is because if you are going to be trying to lose weight, and we know it's going to put you in a position to very often make mistakes, have things not go the way you think they were. I mean, it is just literally just going to be like a lot of being very aware of all the things that keep you from like sticking to your plan and doing these things. If you don't have compassion, then what you do have is a lot of action with a lot of beatdowns. And when you have, like, I don't care how bad you want to lose weight. You might cry yourself to sleep every night wanting to lose weight so bad. But if your mistakes equal beatdowns routinely, you will quit trying to just feel sad about the end of, like, a lot of us live in the land of frustrated that I can't lose weight, live in the land of, you know, wanting to lose weight. It feels miserable, but it's not as miserable as those beatdowns. Your brain knows which one is the worst. And it will say, I will settle for a life of you not liking who you are. I will settle for all of this because I don't like it when you do this. This feels traumatic. This feels really bad. And so I'll choose this hard versus this hard. And that's why I think a lot of you need to meet the emotional need of compassion before you meet anything else. But when you blend compassion with those fuck it eats, then you can really solve things. I just want you to think about all the information fuck it eats give you about food you love, about stopping at enough, all these things. It gives you so much information. And then compassion also just feels a whole fuck ton better. So much easier to lose weight with compassion. And you actually get there. Okay.
Like, let's just talk about this.
I want to, because then I'm going to jump over to my other notes because I want to make sure I worked really hard on that this morning.
Yeah. So while you're doing that, I just want to point out a beatdown isn't necessarily you going, oh my God, you're such a loser. You'll never get this. It doesn't have to be that voice. It can be that little voice in the back of your head that says, see, maybe this isn't for you.
Yeah.
Maybe you won't get this. It doesn't have to be this overt screaming. Think about a beatdown that would come out of Corinne's voice versus a beatdown that would come out of my voice. Totally diametrically opposed, right? Because I bet your beatdowns, Corinne, don't sound like, it's okay. You'll get it next time, right? Like mine do.
Most of mine are harsher. But I will say sometimes I do. Like, I mean, this is a great point you're bringing up. Sometimes I'm in the land of... I would call it like a manipulative beatdown. It's like your brain's manipulation tactic. It's like, well, I'm not going to yell at her. But if I really want her to just quit, let me just say these things instead.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because, like, tell me the Kathy Hartman version of a beatdown.
So my version is more like, it's okay. You're not smart enough. You're getting older. Just have some more. You know, it's almost like a...
You're getting older?
Yes. Yes. Girl. I'm hearing that a lot lately for some reason. But that's more mine. It's more like a justified, you know, you won't get this and here's why. And
so
that's the false compassion that comes in. Yes.
Tell me why that would be manipulative, or tell me why that's actually a beatdown.
Because
I don't know my reasons why. I want to know your reasons why. I'm just like curious as a fellow coach why you feel that way.
I think only because it prevents me, it puts that wall up between what I believe about myself and what I want to believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's more, it holds me back. So it might not be, you know, theoretically that perfect definition of a beatdown, but it's the way I talk to myself that keeps me from moving forward.
Well, and this is what I find so interesting, because I think it's a great definition of a version of beatdowns, because mm-hmm. it's like saying, it's basically your brain is saying in a nice way, you're just not good enough. Why bother?
Exactly.
I mean, it's like, I think sometimes we think beatdowns, and a lot of times I think it also depends on your parenting. Like for me, when I was growing up, we knew when a beatdown was coming, because in my family, there were switches, glass waters, and yelling. Like no one was just subtly or passive. Like no one in my family was ever passive aggressive. It was aggressive was the way it was. Now, I grew up, you know, like I'm going on 50 years old. So back in the day, my grandmother, the one in Alabama, oh Lord, if the red floss water came off the top of the refrigerator, we knew shit had done gone down. Everyone scatter real quick. So this is what I want all of you to think about. Like the definition of a beatdown, and I'm really glad you said this, Kathy, is not the tone of your voice. The definition of a beatdown is it holding you back from who you could be? You know, it's like our brains are just stealthy and wise. And a lot of times they mirror what we heard. So like in some families, you know, like if you're like, let's say you had a family where they just didn't think you were good enough, and they weren't yellers and stuff, but they always were saying like, it's all right. You weren't the smart one anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, like that right there is why that voice may be that way for you. So just be thinking about, for all of you, just be like, compassion to me always sounds like it might start with, it's okay, but I know you want to solve this. Like it's the compassionate conversation for me. If mine is more like, you know, because I will say you and I share one that's very similar. A lot of times I don't have beatdowns on the food side, that mine are always shriller on that side. But like when it comes to business, a lot of my beatdowns are very like nice sounding. It's like, it's all right. I mean, you know, you're not that good in math. You know, well, it's a good thing that you've got Chris, because mm-hmm. he's a lot smarter than you. Like that mine, and it'll just sound so reasonable. Mm-hmm. But I want all of you to think about the tone behind it. It's literally just trying to get you to play small. It's literally just trying to say why don't I just think like, it's okay, you could go learn this stuff. Like, it's okay, you could ask Chris what he knows, and next time you're going to be able to do it. Like, I just want you to think about when we're talking about fuck it foods and stuff, and we're talking about our fuck it moments and our beatdowns and everything. That compassion is really one of the key missing ingredients, I think, when it comes all the way to weight loss. Okay. Anything else you want to add in before I go into the notes?
No, I'm glad you liked the different voices of a beatdown, because they can feel, seriously, it can feel compassionate. It can feel like the words are right. But if you check in with your body and you still feel like, no, you know, that doesn't really feel good, you're going to know. You're going to know if your words are landing in a positive way that kind of propels you forward, lights up that path. I love that analogy, by the way. Lights up that path, or if that path just doesn't light up, even though you think you're talking to yourself in a nice way.
Yeah. And y'all will know, because even like, I don't want you to think that you're going to mess up and just feel like automatically great. That's not what we're really looking for. Like I guess all of you, I just want you to identify, let me think about this. Number one, what is compassion to you? And then number two, what is compassion going to sound like for you? And then three, if you're acting from true compassion, you would do what next? Because that really is the key when it comes to understanding, like, because I think it's easy for all of us who yell at ourselves. Here's the nice thing about internal yellers. We know when we're not being compassionate. There's no mistaking. It's like, that sounds like a jerk. Like, I don't have to question this. Probably not useful, that kind of thing. But when it's stealthy, it could be confusing.
Yeah.
And here's how you know when to clear up any confusion. If I speak to myself like this, do I learn anything and then do anything different next time? If I speak to myself like this and I don't really learn anything, I just kind of keep starting over, clean slating. I'm really just trying to do the same thing that I just did over and over again every day, hoping, I guess, it's going to unlock. That's when you might be in the land of compassion. I like what Mary just said. Mm-hmm. I'm not in compassion. I'm in permissiveness.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's okay to not try anything new. Mm-hmm. It's okay to stay stuck here. It's okay to put this on Groundhog Day, like be thinking about it kind of maybe that way. All right. So now let's do this because I really want to talk about fuck it foods a little bit more. And this is just some of the raw notes that I was thinking about this morning. Number one is, if you want to get control over your fuck it foods, you can feel free. Since you're already up here and Karen is doing a fabulous job, you can just.
He is doing a great job.
Yeah, you can just keep on commenting if you want to.
Okay.
Maybe we'll do this every now and then. Just always dress up on my calls, Kathy, and I'll just pull you out. Kathy is actually unlike Corinne. I would bet you whether Kathy's on camera or not, she takes a shower in the morning and gets ready for her work day. Not me. If I'm not going to be on camera, I'm like, it's a no. I'm like, I could go 2 days without a shower. Sometimes I do. And Chris is like, wow, you like, is water going to melt you or something? So first and foremost is we want to normalize our relationship to the fuck it foods. So for a lot of you, fuck it eating comes with certain foods, or we think that we only fuck it eat around certain foods. Now, we all know that that can come in a lot of different ways, but I kind of want to focus on a specific food that you keep blaming for your fuck it eats. So we have to really decide that all foods are truly okay. Because if you are eating any particular food out of control, it means you, like, this is the big flashing sign. I'm holding on to the idea that this food is either bad, off limits, or something wrong with it. But the only way to ever get out of that behavior is at some point we have to normalize it. And this is the thought that I came up with for all of you this morning that will prove to you that all foods are truly okay. Now, I'm not saying that some of the, like, some foods are more healthy than others and stuff, but we have to realize that our weight issues are not due to a specific food. Otherwise, no one in the world could eat it. I mean, really want y'all to think about that. If your particular flavor of fuck it food, Kathy, what would be yours if you had one?
Cookies.
If it was true that Kathy just couldn't eat cookies because they're bad and they make her make you gain weight and stuff, then Corinne couldn't eat cookies either. No one could. That really means that, oh, it's not that cookies are bad or that I can't control myself. It really just means that cookies are fine. I haven't learned how to normalize them yet. Something in me still finds them off limits. There must be something going on beneath the surface that lights my brain up in such a way that when I eat it, I want to keep eating it. So here's the thought for all of you, that if you still think some foods are bad, those foods ain't got a soul and they can't go to jail. Bad people go to hell and bad people go to jail. Like, I just want you to think about it. There's no jail for foods because we don't go to the grocery store and be like, oh my God, that food is misbehaving so much. Send it to Kroger's jail. Like, food, like, does not have a soul. There's no moral that's there. So whether or not you believe in God or not, you can pick. Either there's no jail for food Or there's no hell for food either. That's how we know foods can't be bad or good. They can be like, these foods are have more fiber. These foods have more protein. These foods have more sugar. These foods, when I eat them every day, I don't feel my physical best. These foods, when I eat them every day, I feel physically better. That doesn't mean they're good or bad. It just means, oh, I notice my human body has a different reaction to these foods. These foods, if I'm overeating them routinely, that's not because of the food. I want to figure out what's going on beneath the surface around these foods, because if I solve that, then I could have them sometimes and be just fine, and I could take it or leave it with them. And that's where I really want y'all to get with all foods. I want you to get to where you can take it or leave it. Not that like, oh, now I can just eat ice cream every day and not lose control. It's like, no, I want you to be like, I could just take or leave ice cream. Sometimes I really love it. And sometimes I'm just like, it's not even worth it today. I don't really care about it that much today. That's food freedom. Food freedom is having a take it or leave it attitude, not a, oh my God, I can have this every day now. That's not freedom.
Yeah, food freedom is also, there's ice cream in the fridge, but I think I'm going to pass today. You can want it and say no. That's also food freedom. So that's like another little nuance for that. Because I have ice cream in my fridge, right, in my freezer right now. Ken's like, you want ice cream? I'm like, I don't think so tonight.
Yeah, Jane was actually Marco Polo me the other day. And she said, girl, first of all, we had been making fun of Chris. Well, he actually knows we've been making fun of him. But he eats a peanut butter sandwich every day for lunch. He's off the quiche that he ate for 2 straight years. Now he's on a peanut butter sandwich, which I'm sure for 2 years from now, we're going to do it. But when, I'm going to have to post this picture in the Facebook group. When Chris makes a peanut butter sandwich, it is peanut butter with a hint of bread.
How I make them. I'm just going to be honest. I love me some peanut butter.
I promise you, when I show you this picture of his sandwich, Kathy, you're going to be like, oh my God. I mean, it is spilling out like a Whopper with cheese. I mean, it's a lot.
Can he like move his mouth after he eats it?
What Jane said, like, does he at least drink a glass of milk? I mean, like in her mind, she was like, how is he not choking on this? And I was like, no, I mean, he just like, so now almost every other day, I take a picture of his sandwich. I'm like, here's today's peanut butter sandwich update. So, because I noticed we were going through a jar of peanut butter about every 3 days, like seriously. And so if all of you don't know, back in the day when I was competing in bodybuilding, peanut butter was my fuck it food. And I didn't think I could have it. We'd get a jar. It was always on my menu. I could have 2 whole tablespoons twice a week. And I mean, every single week on one of those, usually the second day, I would eat a half a jar or more. Because next thing you know, I would just, it was like we were so overworked out and so underfed that my body was like, the moment it started tasting peanut butter, it knew like, oh God, eat all you can, because she's fucking starving and exercising all the time right now. Because in order to compete in bodybuilding, you have to get really underweight. And so it was hard. And she was like, remember when Chris used to have like 8 or 10 jars of 3/4 of the way eating peanut butter things in his trunk? Because I would eat until I was sick. He'd come home at night and I'd be like, take it away. I just can't have peanut butter in the house. And he'd lock it in the trunk. And then every time that I would end my competing season, he would bring in like 10 to 12 jars of peanut butter that had been started and stopped. And she's like, oh my God, you barely even eat peanut butter. Like, she was like, comparing your toast to his, it's like, you just take a smear, put it on there. And I was like, I know, I don't have drama over it anymore, because I normalized my relationship with peanut butter. I realized that peanut butter wasn't the problem. The problem was I was starved and my body needed nutrients. Yeah. This was not a Corinne problem. This was not a peanut butter problem. This was, when I was doing that, when I look back, I was like, I was having a trauma response. My body knew to ask for a load of food because of that. Now, for a lot of you, we want to acknowledge that in us, that we've had maybe past diet trauma responses. That will be a lot of what we talk about at the 2-day, but it will be I've got all these trauma responses that are coming back from the past. And that even though right now I am not dieting the same way, my brain thinks I am. It's bringing back the old memories as a way to just guard against going back there, all of that restriction. So the first thing is that food ain't got a soul, and food doesn't have a special jail built for it for all the naughty foods. So if that's the case, we know that all foods are just food, but maybe some of them, we have responses that make it harder for us to stop, and we want to figure out why that is. Because if we plug that hole and we heal that piece, then we don't have to worry about that food anymore. The second thing is we got to normalize pleasure around food. So one of the things that happens is when you have been dieting for a long time in the past is your brain builds a belief system that the only way to lose weight is it's got to feel really hard. It needs to feel punishing. I shouldn't have pleasure. And so when you come into No BS and I'm trying to get you to normalize foods and to include more of them on your plan, your brain now has like, it goes to war. It's like, wait a minute. Dieting means I shouldn't be pleasured when I'm eating, but here I am pleasured. And so they're going to war with each other. So what we have to remind ourselves is that I am supposed to have pleasure with food. It shouldn't be an all or nothing experience. And the more that I get pleasure from food, the easier my weight loss actually becomes. Because fuck it eating is usually a result of a lack of pleasure in life on top of a lack of pleasure with food. And so when you combine those things, it's like a big, terrible storm. And when you don't have enough pleasure in life and you're not getting enough pleasure in food, the moment you eat something you really like, your brain goes on fire. It's like, oh my God, I feel good. I don't want to let this go. She rarely gets to feel good. She never gets to enjoy her food. We should go all in right now. Because who knows when this moment's coming again. So what we really want to do is we want to be thinking about how do we normalize pleasure. One of the things that we have to do is remind ourselves over and over again that losing weight isn't and shouldn't be punishing. Now, the third thing is called exposure therapy. We are going to eat these foods that we have in the past had diets that demonized. We are going to eat foods we think are bad. We are going to eat the foods we think are out of our control, but we're going to do it in a very different way. So since you are all members, if you go to your menu where the summer reset is, and Kathy, tell me if I'm mistaken. Or wait a minute, where is the, we have the link to the Fuck It Foods worksheet. I think it's actually in No BS.
It's definitely on the Helpful Worksheets page. That's okay. Where I'm going to go.
Helpful Worksheets. So you can go to resources. You can go to Helpful Worksheets. But I want you to do the Fuck It Foods worksheet. So when we do exposure therapy, most of us, when you start unwinding your relationship with food, you are not ready to just start throwing those foods on your plan in abandonment. If you find, and sometimes you can, you just have to play with it. That's why I want you to have a good relationship with a fuck it moment, because you may plan these foods and realize like, oh gosh, like, you know, I keep trying to plan it, but I just keep overeating. So what we want to do is we want to stop planning them that way. And we want to start doing them in a deliberate way. Mm-hmm. So this is just one hack for your brain. Remember when I said, if your brain sees you in action, it has to come up with a new story. So we're going to eat that food with a Fuck It Foods worksheet where you're doing it question by question, step by step, and watching what happens with your taste buds, watching what happens with your brain and stuff, so that you can see, I don't always lose control with this food. So for some people, the easiest way to do it is to have a meal, and then about 30 minutes later or an hour later, You're not going to be hungry. You're not going to be enough. This is a controlled experiment. You are going to eat your fuck it food so that you're not going, because you do not need to go into it hungry. You don't need to earn your way into it. We are not sitting here in like one fuck it food worksheet a week or every few days, whatever it takes for you. It's not going to derail your weight loss. What it's going to do is it's going to show you, like, when you eat it and you do it in a way where you're very conscious, you're emotionally prepared, and you're ready to learn, you will have a very different experience with the food. And then your brain has to be like, wait a minute. You mean I don't always lose control when I eat this food? That will start giving you like, oh shit, it really is like some of this diet culture stuff. It really is some of these underlying reasons that's going on. It's not the food's fault. It's not a lack in me. It's like, it really is. I've just got to learn this new way. So
it's intentionality. It's being conscious and being intentional versus seeing the food and being reactive to it. Because when you're reactive to it, all those old habit thoughts that you were talking about, that old belief system, is going to come in. But when you're intentional with it, then you are creating new thoughts and you're creating a new way of thinking about that food. It's totally different. I love it.
And then the last thing is we want to look for the reason this food is the fuck it food. So we want to figure that out. So there are four things. One is called taste hunger. Sometimes fuck it foods are like, they just taste really good. And so we have what's called taste hunger. So you may have a specific food that you want to eat until it hits the spot, until you feel like you've had enough, not I know my body's had enough. I want to feel emotionally like I had enough. If you know that, then here's what I always say. If it's a food that I'm just going to have taste hunger over. So for me, that's ice cream. There's never going to be a day in Corinne's life where a few spoonfuls are going to be enough. I am always going to want to eat the ice cream. Not out of control, but like, I want to have enough of it. And like, if I eat ice cream at the end of a meal and I can only do like one or two bites, I'm just going to feel cheated. I just am. And I know that about me. And I'm like, all right, so if I don't want to feel that, I'm like, you know what? Sometimes I just plan ice cream for dinner. That way I know I get plenty. And if I plan ice cream for dinner once or twice a week, I really doubt I'm going to die early. I'm going to die early being hard on myself the rest of my life, stressing myself out over everything I eat, freaking the fuck out over things. And I'm like, two meals out of the 20 or 30 that I'll eat this week?
30?
If I'm snacking.
Oh, okay. Girl, you can
eat. You could go up to 42, technically. Like, it just depends on what you're doing. Like, sometimes I do four meals a day. Most of the time, I just do three. But sometimes I have noticed that now that I'm really trying to get my 10K steps in, that the more active I'm getting in the summer, I just need like an extra boost. Otherwise, like yesterday, this is when I knew that I'm going to have to add an afternoon snack in, because I wake up so early. A lot of times I'm eating breakfast at now like 6-7 o'clock in the morning. Then I'm eating breakfast or lunch around 11 or 12. And if we don't eat dinner until 5:30 or 6, like, and I've been like standing all day, working out, doing all the things, by 4, I'm ready to eat my arm off. Okay. But I don't want to eat dinner at 4. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I was wanting to eat dinner at 3:45. I'm like texting Chris, like, when are you going to be done? Like, I'm ready for dinner. And he was like, 3:45 is a little early for me. So anyway, one of the things that you do is you just think about, like, that's not a problem. It really isn't a problem. And I don't care if you ate ice cream for dinner every single night for a couple of weeks to normalize it. Over the course of your lifetime, and everything that you are going to eat, and how, like, if you think, I am learning how to take good care of myself, I am learning how to put other foods in too, like, this is the path to normalizing my relationship with food, I probably won't want ice cream every night for dinner for the rest of my life. When I get it out of my system, guess what? Great job. Like, sometimes what we just get so micro in our thinking that we don't think big picture and zoom out. Kathy, just tell me, We can keep going, right? Like, we're not going to get kicked out of this room. MJ.
No, I think MJ needs the Zoom account.
Okay.
For the newbies.
Tell MJ to give, just Slack her and tell her, give me 2 minutes and we'll finish up. So taste hunger. So just like, if it's taste hunger, I also ask myself, like, you know, do I want to start having this for dinner sometimes? Like, how do I want to plan this in a way where every now and then I eat something and I finish it, or every now and then I eat something to, like, if it's one of my foods, I want to eat just a little bit past enough. How am I going to work that in? The other thing is, we go into some of these foods, if it's a fuck it food, too hungry. We starve our way into it. We skip meals for it. We're earning it. We're doing those things. And we wonder why, like dingbats, I don't understand why I lose control. If you went in underfueled, your body's going to want to make up for it. That is why I always say, like, even on Thanksgiving, even on days where we know we're going to have a big meal, you do better if you go in eating normally all day than trying to earn your way in. The third piece is some of our fuck it foods are emotional foods. It is representative of an unmet emotional need. And then the last thing is just unmet needs in particular. It's like, sometimes it's unmet emotional needs and sometimes it's unmet basic human needs. I am not getting enough rest. Rest is one of the biggest ones for women. I'm not getting enough sleep, and I'm not getting enough water. So when you start looking at, like, what are these things telling me? It's like, all right, for my fuck it foods, is it an unmet emotional need? Is it an unmet basic human need? Could it be taste hunger? This is just one of those foods that I want to eat in a different way sometimes. I don't want to plan it all the time, but I sometimes want to plan it for my dinner or whatever. And then, am I practicing restriction and getting too hungry before even going into them? Okay, we do have to go because MJ needs the room for another call. Thank you, everyone. And thank you, Kathy. And thank you, Karen, for pinch hitting for us.
If your question didn't get answered, hit us and ask coaches.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Bye-bye, y'all.